Amen. It's not finished with us yet. Anybody out there feel like a finished work yet? No? Okay. And the good news is that he is not finished with us yet. But, you know, created me a clean heart. There's an asking there. And that's what David is asking in that psalm. Lord, just, you know, change and rearrange me. He was repenting of what he had done with Bathsheba, and he's come before God, created me a clean heart. And yeah, God is, if we're willing to ask, God is willing to answer. It takes an asking on our part sometimes, but he will answer, and he's not finished with us yet. What reassurance in that. Let's start with our readings.
Today's first reading is from 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. The second reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 28. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Here ends the readings.
Today's gospel is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any children want to head out for kids' church? Feel free at this time. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We pray that you, the author of these words, would interpret them for us, that they would speak to us anew, that we would have even more understanding and become even more like you. Amen. John, again, is talking to us and everybody. He probably had no idea that 2,000 years later I'd be preaching on his word. You know, I ever wrote a letter and think that 2,000 years later someone's going to be using it for something? Probably not. Okay, letters are treasured, though, many times. Who has maybe a shoebox or something, anyway, a desk drawer where you got some old letters that are meaningful to you? Yeah, a lot of people nodding heads, raising hands. Absolutely, 100%. I know I've still got the ones that Jill would write to me back when we were dating and everything like that. You know, I was over in Alberta, she was in Starbucks. We weren't that far away, but, you know, this is before the internet. We couldn't, you know, email, you couldn't text or whatever, so we'd write letters. And those I treasure, the ones I would get up at Camp Ripley when I was up there or in other states on for schools and things, and she would send them to me. That's pretty cool. So in his letter here today, he starts out, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Yeah. Yeah, we believe we have eternal life. It's that simple. We accept what God has offered to us. We accept and we believe. And we got it. And we're going to do good things in response. Again, we don't do good things to try to earn favor with God. We can't do that. But out of thanksgiving, and because our identity has been changed and we are now Christian, it's who we are and what we do good things. So this is the confidence, and that speaks of confidence right there, that confidence that there's something better awaiting us, that we have an approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. Alrighty, I struggle with that part of it. Why don't we always see the results of prayer? You know, sometimes we're not praying in alignment with His will. And yeah, that's understandable. But then there's other times. Maybe say some young girl that has some incurable disease that has incredible pain or something. And we're just praying and praying. Yet we don't see the answer that we're hoping for. I struggle with that still. I do. But I have to have faith. And I'm not going to quit praying. I'll guarantee you that. I'm not going to quit praying. I'm not going to quit asking. And as I look back over this week, I had said the sermons would be about prayer, but maybe the word ask would be a better title, the way it's come about here now, ask. We pray for a number of reasons. When we pray, we give thanks to God. We come before Him, we give Him thanks. We're doing that worship this morning too, because we are here to worship Him, to bring praise to Him. And we do that in prayer as well. We thank Him. We praise Him, and we can thank Him for the many blessings that we have, and then we can ask as well, which is, yeah, to ask. Wow. But ask in accordance with His will, and ask for the right things and the good things, not in a selfish way, of course. And God answers prayers in a number of ways. Sometimes the answer is yes, and when you see that, that's pretty cool. When you get the answer to prayer, it's a yes. You're like, yes, thank you, Lord. Sometimes it's no. But as those of you who have been parents, sometimes telling your child no is the best thing you can do. If you love them. When I was a kid, if I asked if I could stay up to 3 a.m, the answer would definitely be no. Why? Because they love me and they know what's best for me, right? Okay, and when our boys were, you know, younger and still living at home, or if my Lord asked to stay at 3 a.m, yeah, it would definitely be a no. Okay, so sometimes God says a no, and it's for our good, because He knows what's best for us. His ways are higher, okay? He has much more wisdom than we ever will. So we have to accept that. And the third way He might answer is, not yet, just wait. All right, he's living outside of time, basically, and we're confined by time. But in the right time, sometimes He answers prayers. Not what we think is right. You might think, hey, Lord, I really need this, like, right now, you know. But He'll give you, like, praying for patience, He'll give you the chance to develop it. It's going to take time. But He's answering the prayer by giving you the opportunity to do so. So yes, no, or not yet. His time is not our time. And we have to remember that even Jesus was told no. Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's on His knees. He's pouring it all out before God. I mean, He's praying, sweating profusely, and then starting to bleed because He's praying so hard. If this cup be taken from me, Lord, please, please, please. Anybody ever prayed that hard? He was. And the answer was no. The cup was not taken from Him. He did go to the cross. Did it work out for the best? Absolutely. So even Jesus was told no. But as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, you know, thy will be done, because God knows better. We pray that His will be done. Does His will always make sense to us? No. Is His will perfect and good? Yes. And we pray that His will be done. If we always got what we prayed for, oh, I try to picture that world. If we always got what we prayed for, oh, what would people pray for? Selfish things, perhaps? You know, praying for $1 million or something like that. Yeah. And then, you know, it's not always mathematically possible, like if 1,000 people pray that they would win the lottery and they'd be the only winner. Can 1,000 people win and be the only winner? No, it can't work that way, right? And I don't believe it'd be God's will either. And if we ever got everything we wanted, it would just be like what they call a vending machine God. You put in your prayer and you get out your candy or whatever, right? You put in your quarter and you get, well, it's more than a quarter nowadays, but you get the idea. Okay. Yeah, and we don't have a vending machine God. He's not going to constantly give us everything we ask for, and we can't earn it. But again, he knows what's best. And because he loves us, he's going to give us what's best. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, and sometimes not yet, because he knows better. And if we had that kind of God where we just get everything we ask for, would faith even be necessary? It really wouldn't. Where would there be room for faith if we got everything we wanted all the time from God? And faith is so incredibly valuable. That's a whole other sermon. It could be a sermon series on faith, but what an incredibly valuable thing. But the big thing here that John wrote, at least to me, that jumps out at me, if we ask anything according to his will, I've got those four words underlined, according to his will, right? Again, not what we think is best, but he knows what's best. So we ask according to his will. How do you know what his will is? Sometimes it's pretty obvious what God's will is. He wants the best for people. And it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? He wants everybody to be with him for eternity. That's his will. His will has, I don't know, many different facets if you look at it. But it's always, always, always for our good, for the good of his people that he loves. So we have to seek his will. The more you get to know someone, the more you know the way that they think, right? You know, Jill and I have been together for, what, 27, 28 years, something like that now. And after a while, I started to understand how she thinks a little bit better, all right? Because I got to know her, I got to understand how she thinks better. And that's true of anybody. You spend time with them, you can almost predict how they're going to answer, right? You don't even have to ask because you already know the answer, right? You know them that well. You know. The what? Is better, huh? You know them better. Okay. So, yeah, you get to know them better. You don't understand completely, and there's no way we're going to understand God completely. And, you know, maybe you can't understand your husband or wife completely either. But you get to know them better, and you can almost tell what they're going to say before you even ask it. Because you got this connection, you get to know them. And it's the same way with God and getting to know his will. The more we get to know God, the closer we are to him, the more we understand his will. It's not going to make sense every time, but we can better figure out what his will is, what he would want in this situation. So get to know him better, and you'll understand his will better. And pray to know his will, that he would reveal it to you, right? It's not always apparent to us. Sometimes it has to be revealed to us. But as we get to know him better, yeah, for sure. In Romans today then, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for. Sometimes we don't even know. But God knows what we need. He provides. I mean, every one of us is here today because of what he has done. He's got you this far, each and every one of you. He has got you this far. He knows everything about you and still likes you anyway. That's pretty cool too. You know, that's our God, right? But we don't always know what's best. An example would be, many times when Jill and I have foster kids and they've got a custody hearing coming up. And sometimes we have to go to court with them. Other times, you just send them with a social worker. It varies. And then during COVID, it was pretty cool because we could go to court sitting out on our deck. You just log in with the code and you're right there. And we didn't even have to go to the courthouse. That was convenient. But we don't know what's best for these kids. This kid that you've cared for, and all of a sudden, this judge has to make a decision. I don't want to be the judge because this decision is going to impact many lives. Is it right that the child should go back to the parents? Have they shown enough improvement that they can? Should the child come back to foster care so the parent can heal a little bit more and the child can be cared for in a safe environment? Should the child be sent with a relative? Or should they be put up for adoption? These are all possibilities. And we certainly don't know what's best. If we did, we'd pray for that, you know, that, okay, adoption would take place or something. No, we don't know what's best. So what our prayer is, Lord, whatever is in the best interest of this child, we pray that that would happen, Lord. Lord, we know that you love this child. We know that you care for them. We know that you want them to have a beautiful future where they feel safe and loved, where they can grow in faith and come to know you better, Lord, and share with others. Lord, you know what that is, what's best for this child. If it's going back with the parents, if it's being put up for adoption, if it's to stay in foster care. And Lord, we ask that your will would be revealed to the judge, to the social workers, and to the lawyers, that whatever is, again, in the best interest of this child, even though it may not make sense to us, any of us as humans, whatever is best for them, we pray that that would happen. Amen. And we prayed that prayer a number of times. And again, we don't know what's best, but God does. So we sort of put it in his hands, and Lord, ask that you would move within the hearts of people, or that judge, or whatever the case may be, to make the right decision for what's best for these kids. Because would that be God's will, what's best for the kids? I'd have to say yes. He wants what's best for them, and he wants what's best for us, even though it might not seem like the right thing to us. He knows best, sort of like that father knows best, right? God knows best. End of statement, period. God knows best. There you go. I can't argue with that one. So we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Again, in accordance with God's will, knowing what's best. So when we pray, you can read words off a page, you can read words out of a book or a book of prayers, and there's a place for that. It's wonderful many times. Especially if you don't know what to pray, you find the appropriate prayer and you pray it. But praying from the heart, not the brain, that's the kind of prayer that I find fulfilling many times. Praying from the heart, just pouring it out to God. And sometimes you don't even have words. So go ahead and do it with groans or whatever, with sighs too deep for words. But praying from the heart, he knows what's in your heart. He knows what is needed. Do that. When you pray, also pray like kids. You ever had the privilege of listening to little kids pray sometimes? It's really a cool deal. Jesus lay it out right out there with a childlike faith, fully trusting. So pray from the heart. Pray like children. Be honest before him. He already knows. So just pour it out to him. Be honest. Plead with him. Talk to him. Bring it to him. You might not get the answer you want every time and in the time that you want it. But sometimes you walk away from prayer and you're just feeling an incredible peace. A peace that you can't explain. That peace that surpasses all understanding. You brought it before God. You showed him how much you care, how concerned you are. And he'll grant you that peace. And you can just sort of rest assured knowing that it's in his hands now. I don't have to deal with it anymore. I'm still going to pray, absolutely. But I brought it to him. I know that he wants what is best. Also pray boldly. Just, God, if it's okay with you, maybe, No, ask. Ask. As we'll hear in the gospel in a little bit, ask and you'll receive. We had sung that this morning, too, the prayer of Jabez. If we go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, 9 and 10, it's got this one of these genealogy lists again. You read through the Old Testament, you get to those genealogy lists and names that you can't pronounce. You just want to skip ahead to the next section, right? And this is from one of those sections. These are the sons of Edom, Jezreel, Ishmael, and Idbash. Their sister was named Hazzelopani. Wow, interesting. Penuel was the father of Gedor, and Ezer the father of Husha. These are the descendants of Hur, the firstborn of Ephrathah, and the father of Bethlehem. Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Naara. Okay. we just got this long list. But in the midst of it, in the middle of it, in the list right there, Jabez was, and this is right in the middle of one of those long lists, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, which means pain, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." And Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. And then it continues, Caleb, Shuha's brother, was the father of Mehir, who was the father of Eshton. Eshton was the father of Beth Rapha. Okay, you get the idea. So inserted in the middle of this long list is this special thing about Jabez. And this was important enough to put in here. And when he prayed, he was boldly asking. Boldly asking. Come before the God of all, who are not worthy to approach. But he's boldly asking that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Is it God's will to bless us? Absolutely. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm. Guide me, Lord. Guide me. Use your hand to guide me, keep me from harm, but also to guide me in good ways, right? Enlarge my territory. Now, this might be a physical territory, might be spiritual, who knows? Let your hand be with me, keep me from harm so that I'll be free from pain. And it's interesting that his mom had named him Pain. Okay. Jabez meaning pain. That he would be free from pain. And God grants his request. He asked boldly. And God granted it. That's pretty neat. Gotta love it. And that's an example for us then, to ask boldly, to ask confidently, knowing that God is there. Our reading from Romans concluded with, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." He works for the good in all things. Even when things are horrible, when they're terrible, he can bring good out of it. You remember when Jessica used to worship with us, she was bound to a wheelchair, had a brain tumor when she was about sixth grade. Very bright young girl. And also this brain tumor, afterwards she could not walk, and trying to understand her when she talks was difficult. I remember going to visit her. Jill was her home care nurse for a while, and as she'd come out of surgery, she was about seventh grade, and I knew her fairly well. I knew she had a very bright mind and stuff like that, so I asked her an algebra problem. Without paper or pencil, she worked it in her head. And I had thrown a curveball in there, too. I intentionally made this one up so that there'd be a common mistake. Nope, she got right by it and gave me the right answer, worked it all out in her head. So, yeah, she in her mind, she can process just fine. But it's got to be frustrating being able to think just clearly but unable to communicate it clearly. Her speech is much better now when you talk to her. So this is a terrible thing that happened to her. Having a brain tumor, you know, as a junior high kid, having to go through the rest of high school in a wheelchair, unable to, you know, take part in things like other kids could. She was pretty athletic beforehand and stuff too. But God can work it for good. She finished her 4-year degree now in counseling and philosophy. And she's going for a master's in counseling right now with the goal of helping handicapped kids. How cool is that? That even though this bad thing happened to her, she will be able to help others. God can work it for good. Would she be as effective a counselor if she had not experienced that? Probably not. She'd probably be using her mathematical gifts or something. Who knows, being an architect or an engineer, I have no idea where she would have gone. But now she's going to bring hope to these little kids. And again, God can bring good out of anything. Even bad experiences that have happened to us. We've all got things in our lives that were not good. But can God bring good out of it? Absolutely. He's that kind of God. So trust in him. Have faith. Discern his will. And ask. Ask. With that, we turn to the gospel then. Ask and it will be given to you. It doesn't say might. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Well, maybe not in the way you expect and not in your time. But God will answer. It's interesting to note that ask, seek, and knock are all active things. We cannot passively sit there, do nothing, while asking, seeking, and knocking. This takes some effort on our part, takes some faith on our part, and takes some action on our part. We have to reach out to God. He's there. But we have to reach out. We have to ask. We have to seek. We have to knock. And when we ask, it has to be in faith. And sometimes more than once, be persistent. The centurion in Acts, asked in faith, right? Heal my servant. And Jesus was impressed, not even in Israel I've seen such faith. That wasn't in Acts, it was one of the Gospels. I'm thinking of another healing in Acts there, okay. And also the persistence, thinking of the widow before the unjust judge. She had to keep asking and keep asking and keep asking. Finally, her request was granted. So ask in faith, in alignment with God's will, but ask in faith and ask persistently if necessary. God will honor that. He will answer. But that answer may not always be in the way that we expect. It may be in a different form. Or maybe we're knocking on one door, as he tells us, and another door opens. Maybe we're knocking on the wrong door. But he's going to open doors for us that lead to good things. So knock confidently, ask confidently, with faith and persistently. And be careful which door you knock on too, I suppose, because, as the old saying goes, be careful what you ask for. You just might get it, right? So when you're asking, again, make sure it's with God, in line with God's will, then you know that it's good. Ask for the right things. Knock on the right doors. And again, in accordance with God's will. In the Bible study on Tuesday, as we went through these readings, Marcy said, it all boils down to God's will. Yeah, it does. Get to know him better, that you'll know his will better. Then you can ask better in accordance with his will. If you're asking for things that are not with his will, you really don't need to get those things, okay? But when you're asking in accordance with God's will for the right things, for the right reason, the motive matters. He is faithful. So seek, follow, and trust. Because he knows best. Amen.